Chris Hansen. He is with True Blue Media, of course, and we are continuing to go through the episodes for from the sting operation that was held here a while back in Marquette. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Good. Excellent.
Well, good. We'll review last week's episode as we
sure.
normally do. Were you surprised at the backlash that you and your company received from some for
yes.
the portrayal of the 18-year-old? Tell me your reaction to the backlash that you guys received.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, some people who saw the story thought that because the suspect, Hunter, was 18 years old and that the, you know, the decoy was posing as a 14-year-old boy, that it was a Romeo and Juliet situation. And in the eyes of the law, it's not. Some of the people incorrectly pointed to a law, a provision in the Michigan statute for criminal sexual conduct in the third degree, which allows prosecutorial discretion if the offender and the other party are within 4 years. But that provision only allows the prosecutor not to seek lifetime registration as a sex offender or any registration as a sex offender. The crimes that this young man was charged with are different, and that provision doesn't apply to those. So he was charged as an adult because he was 18, and I would argue that an 18-year-old potentially poses just as much danger as a 28 or a 38 or a 48 or a 58-year-old. And we also heard from the community, from a lot of people who applauded the investigation. And the difference that 3 years between a 15 and 18-year-old is a big span. It's much different emotionally, physically, and psychologically than a 30 and a 33-year-old. And that's the reason it's a crime. So do we treat these people differently when they're young? Yes, and you can see in the interview that I take a much different tact with him than I do with the others. And because the case looks like it's headed towards a diversion, and because of his age, he will get a chance to get his record clear, we'll not, you know, continue to broadcast the story if, in fact, that happens. So we are very mindful of the sensitivity of this issue, but, you know, again, we're hearing from a lot of people who say that there was trouble brewing here, and it was a good thing that he was exposed because he'll get the help and he'll get the intervention to not have it happen again. You know, there's a reason why even in school, you know, 18-year-olds are separated from 17, 16, and 15-year-olds. That's a big emotional difference. And I'll say one more thing about that. What if you're the parent of a 15-year-old? How are you going to feel if an 18-year-old comes over after soliciting your child for sex? I think you're going to have a different opinion than some of those people who thought that he shouldn't have been profiled. So I knew it'd be a little controversial. I was prepared for that, and we made the editorial decision to treat it the way we treated it, and I'm very comfortable with that.
So in retrospect, no regrets of airing the episode?
No, not at all, because this has happened before, and we have to make an editorial decision. The young man lied, said he was younger, and I said, fine, if that's the truth, then, you know, we're going to treat this differently, and probably we'll never see the light of day. It turned out he lied because he was of age. He knew he was breaking the law. This wasn't some long-standing relationship between two consenting people on an emotionally and psychologically equal level. That's not what this was. This is somebody who was trying to prey upon a 15-year-old, and he was an adult in the eyes of the law. And, you know, the debate is fair, and I understand it, and we'll handle it accordingly, but no regrets.
In your nearly 20 years of doing this, Chris, this question I've had within the past week from a few people that have watched these episodes with me, and we watch them every Thursday. Have you had women perps?
We have not in our investigations. And the therapists, the experts in this field say it's because when it comes to female predators, you're more likely to see the teacher-student scenario. The female predator doesn't like the anonymity, where the male predator sort of is aroused by the anonymity and will go for somebody that they don't know in real life. So we've never seen it. I know it's happened. Obviously, we've covered the cases of the female teacher and the male student. These things happen with some frequency, and we've done stories for True Blue on them, but we've never had one in one of our sting operations, no.
Yeah, because the kids I talk with a lot around here say, yeah, it happens. It does.
Yeah. No, it does happen. It does happen. We've just not seen it in any of our stings over the last two decades.
Okay, so tell me about this episode this week, Chris.
This is really a frightening character, Thomas, who's a 62-year-old man who was chatting with the decoy, posing as a 15-year-old girl on and off for the better part of 2 days. And he wanted to get this girl to get in his vehicle with him and take her to the woods for sex. And he was willing to bring all kinds of materials to facilitate that sexual assault. And he was adamant in the beginning that he wasn't going to come in the house. He wanted to have full control of the situation. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew he faced criminal prosecution. And yet, after a series of conversations, and you see these conversations play out in real time in the story that's in the next episode, he shows up. And he's got a backpack with a whole sex kit in it. You know, he's ready to go. And he walks in, and he has an interaction with the on-site decoy, which you see in the story. And then, of course, I confront him, and he tries to defend it. I mean, it's shocking what he has to say to me, and you'll see all that in the episode.
And he drove a long way to get there.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't the longest drive of all the potential predators, but he, you know, he had to go back and forth and think about it, and yeah, he was on the road for, you know, some time, almost a couple hours.
Okay, how can people get the app? I know it's watchtrueblue.com on the internet, on a browser, but I watch it on my Roku, and maybe not everybody knows how to do that, Chris.
Well, they can get it on Roku, and if you just search for True Blue, coming soon, it'll be on all Samsung devices and all devices that are sold at Costco, and then in October, will be up on Pluto and Roku, actually in the apps with their own channel, so that'll be happening as well. But if you go to watchtrueblue.com, TRUBLU, you'll be able to get all the details, and it's very simple to do.
Yeah, I figured it out, so it's pretty simple. Chris Hansen, until we speak next week, thank you, sir. We will see the latest episode tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Speak soon.